Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Janice Tunnell, your host, and this is Beauty Talk for tonight, February 18th. I'm going to laugh because I almost got rid of our guest before the show even started. Sorry, Dee Dee. sorry about that. I thought you were an anxious caller, but you're an anxious guest, I guess.
Yeah.
I thought you were calling a little after 6 your time, so I wasn't actually prepared for you so soon. So sorry.
That's okay, as long as I'm here now.
Yep, absolutely, and I do appreciate it. I just want to remind the callers that to call in and join the show, you can dial 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399, or you can email your comments and questions to info@illusionsbeauty.com, or you can join my sister Denise in the chat room, and she has some things she wants to share with you.
Well, I'm glad we got that hanging up the phone stuff cleared up, because I thought I was going to lose. Welcome, welcome, Katanda. Nice to have you guys
Thank you.
Just
Thanks
a couple
for
things. Oh, you're welcome. Just a couple of things for our beauty lounge, which is our chat room. Just want to remind everybody about the beauty deal that we're having this week, which is free shipping on all orders over $50, and that's at www.illusionsbeauty.com. You have 2 days left to take advantage of that beauty deal. The beauty tip for today, the key to having a great makeup application is starting with great skin. So let's make sure we start preparing the skin and taking care of the skin so that the makeup application is simple and easy. Don't forget, we want everybody to send in their responses to the question, what is beauty to you? So if you have a response, you can email it to info@illusionsbeauty.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com/illusionsbeauty. And for those of you who are joining us on our beauty tour, March 13th, we're going to be at Bellezza Couture Studio in Durham, North Carolina. That's a Saturday. It'll be in the afternoon. So join us for our meet and greet event. And that's in the South Point Mall area.
Cool. Welcome again, ladies.
Thank
you. And if you guys didn't hear, we have Dee Dee Kelly and Katanda James joining us tonight. And a little later, we'll have Maxie, of course. And, you know, he'll be on with the usual. But tonight, we want to talk about the business of makeup. And first, let's just have Katanda and Dee Dee both just tell us a little bit about who you are and, like, what areas of makeup. And I know, Katanda, you also do hair, so if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, my name is Katanda J, as Denise stated, or Denise. I'm not sure which one they both. I really don't know. And I am actually in the Maryland, D.C. area. I am a hairstylist and a makeup artist. I love both equally the same. So if I'm not doing hair, I'm doing makeup. If I'm not doing both, I'm doing one or the other. if I'm not doing anything, I'm trying to do something. So.
And when you're not doing that, you and I are having tea at T-Ball. So there we go.
Yeah, we need to go back there. And by the way, Dee Dee stood us up the last time she was here. She's so popular that, you know, she couldn't make us for lunch.
Yes, she did.
And we forgive her.
But I understand, Dee Dee. I understand.
Okay.
You know, when you come home
and you only have a couple of days and you got a million people that want to see you, it's so hard to spread yourself around. I haven't been home. Home in means Baltimore in like 2 years. So when I did come home finally, I only had like a week, and I tried to cram all my friends and family into a week, and it just didn't work out.
It doesn't work at all.
It doesn't. But she crammed all of her millions of makeup bags and herself in my house, so I got to see her go off the line. But
that was the only way you were going to get to see her.
Right.
I know. But I'll just give a little briefing.
Go ahead. Well, let me just introduce myself. I'm Dee Dee Kelly, and I'm a makeup artist primarily and living out of Los Angeles now. I'm originally from Baltimore, and I do a light hair. I don't really cut or color, but I found out that doing makeup and hair is more beneficial because they like to hire one person as opposed to two people. So
That's a good point. I learned
from Katanda, and I learned from a couple other great hairstylists the tricks of the trade of being on set and how to keep it simple but keep it neat and keep it camera ready. So my main focus is makeup, but I can do hair.
All right. Cool. I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask Dee Dee if she learned how to not be so rough. Are you gentle now with the hair?
Yes. I'm being very gentle.
Oh, great.
I'm only rocking my own hair.
That's good to know.
Now, Dee Dee, have you found that learning how to do light hair has helped you to get more jobs or
at least
be more confident?
Definitely helped me get more jobs because a lot of the time they would, you know, when production would call and they were like, do you do hair and makeup? And I would say no to hair when I knew I could do my own hair. I would help everybody else with hair. And I'm like, I can do hair. What am I talking about? So then, you know,
what kinds of jobs were they? Because I know here in the Atlanta area, mostly when they ask you to do hair and makeup, it's mainly for commercials.
Yeah.
So is that the type of jobs you were finding it on or other types of jobs?
Pretty much, yes, commercials, any kind of television, and even more on photo shoots now.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking for somebody to do both hair and makeup when at first they were hired separately. So.
Right.
Because now it's all about the budget and
absolutely.
If they get one person as opposed to two people, then they don't have to pay them as much. But you as an individual, you get paid more because, you know, you're doing both. So it's all good.
Right. Now let me ask you, or do you, because you say it's all about the budget and they're trying to hire, do you feel like now that they're hiring just one person to do both hair and either light makeup to do makeup and light hair, do you feel like you're getting paid for doing both?
I was going to say that, yeah, it depends, but for the most part, if they have to split the budget in two for a hair person and a makeup person, say, for instance, they have a $1,000 budget, then the hair person will get $500, the makeup artist will get $500. Well, if you're doing hair and makeup, they can kind of cut that down or scale down, and you may get like $750 or $850 as opposed to just doing
that's what I'm thinking.
For me, I say, well, if I'm doing both jobs, then why not pay me the whole
$1,000? Exactly.
But that defeats the purpose. So.
That defeats the purpose for them.
Right.
But technically, it's still going to be the same work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and actually, it may take even longer if you're doing both.
Right. It does take longer.
Yeah, because now you don't have two people who can kind of double team and get the job done faster. You have one person who has to do both.
Right, right. It's kind of like a catch-22.
I mean, I just say if you're going to do it, you may as well take advantage of it and see what you can get out of it.
I'm a good negotiator. I like to will and deal.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It comes down to the negotiating.
It does come down to the negotiation. You're right.
Well, what do you all think about all of that?
I was just going to ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
I was just going to ask the question for either of you ladies or for Dee Dee. I know that I think for the most part we all represent ourselves.
Yes.
Do you find that it's kind of hard to negotiate for yourself? Do you sometimes think that if you had, like, maybe a manager or something, to negotiate the deals for you to, like, take, like, a lot of weight off your back? Because sometimes I'm like, oh, I just don't feel like, you know, negotiating because it gets kind of...
Well, this is Janice. I think that for me, well, when it comes to work on feature film, I don't think it's so bad because we have set contracts and everything is already stated in the contract. And you kind of know when you can negotiate your rates and when you can't. You kind of have an idea based on the budget of the film, based on what's already stated in the contract, if you can even go there. You know what I mean?
Right.
And a lot of times, based on the contracts, the rate is already set at a nice place. You don't even have to, you know, worry about it. But outside of film, I think that's where sometimes you kind of have to take a few risks. When it comes to negotiating, you may lose the job. Sometimes you'll surprise yourself and throw out a number, and they'll surprise you and say, "Okay, you know."
Oh,
but,
yeah. I love those.
I love those too.
Yeah.
And but you know, but sometimes you may wind up losing the job because you said it, you know, kind of high, and they're like, "No, we can't do that."
Yeah, and for me, Janice, for me personally, I think I'm just really getting to the point, you know, if someone offers me a certain rate and I know I don't want to do it at that rate and I try negotiating and when they say no, then I think I will just say no. I mean, I think we have to get to the point where we have to, like, raise the bar as far as how we get paid and how producers and production coordinators and all those people respond to us and how they respect us, because I think if we start allowing people to just pay us anything, I mean, because, you know, there are some makeup artists around here that are just working 12-hour days for $200, and that's, I mean, I understand it's a recession, but that type of thing has been going on for years just so that they can get the job and they can kind of stay friendly with the producers and all that type of thing, but you can't pay me $200 for a 12-hour day, and I'm busting my butt, and then some, and that's all I get, and then you have to wait on that. I mean, that you have to start saying no, you know, regardless. Mm-hmm. And I think the more we do that, the more they're going to respect us, and then they will see the difference between that $200 makeup artist and, let's just say, that $600 or $700 makeup artist.
Thank you so much. Like, they don't get it. You get what you pay for.
Right.
And you
or
know
what you don't pay for.
Absolutely. I think some of them get it. They're just going to try you. And then when you have makeup artists in your area that are willing to accept almost nothing for a job, and the producers or the production companies know that, then that's who they're going to call. But when everybody in the area gets together and say, look, we're not going to go for this. Now, of course, it has to be based on somebody, on your skill set. I mean, if you're talking about makeup artists who all pretty much are equal in what they can do, if you all get together and say, hey, look, we're not going for a commercial, for a day on a commercial, we're not going to accept anything under $500, $600 per day. If there are other people that's equally qualified as you, And they're like, no, I'm not going to do that. If somebody calls me, I'm going to do it for $300. Then, you know, they're going to always go to that $300 person. But if you all can get together and say, come on, let's all be together on this, you know, if they call me and I can't do it, one of you can do it, at least we're all doing it at the same rate.
Right.
But if people continue to say, okay, I'm going to do it because I just want to get the job, you know, I want to make the contact or whatever their reason, you know, it's not going to help you. It's not going to benefit anybody.
But if you all agree to that one particular rate, you all have to make sure that that's what you're telling people when they're calling you and getting a quote, you know, for your rate. You have to make – everybody's got to be honest about what they're telling these people because that's not what's happening. You know what I mean?
I'm just getting ready to say that.
Yeah, you have people that are like, oh, well, you know, I can do it. If they know the – you know, with the rate that you agreed to say was like $700 or $800, and then you're going around saying, well, I can do it for $3. You know, it defeats the purpose. You're just being greedy and just wanting to get the job. And, I mean, I understand that when you need to pay your bills. I totally get that. But it's not going to get any better. You're working harder for this $300 as opposed to doing the job for $800 and not having to possibly work 2 or 3 more jobs.
Right. Exactly. Do you ladies find that, well, I know I've had experience with knowing that a lot of times we don't all stick together, and I find that a lot of people are so competitive that they will say, oh, yeah, we're all going to tell them that we're going to only do it for $500. And like you said, go back on their word and say, oh, well, I'll do it for $300 just because they're, I don't know if it's because they really need the job or it's insecurities, and they're like, oh, well, if I say I'm going to do it for the same amount, she's a little bit better than me, so they'll go ahead and do it, you know, take her. I mean, I just find that we don't all stick together, and that becomes a problem because, like you said, there are makeup artists that will do jobs for free.
Right.
Whereas we're sitting back and we're like, oh, my gosh, you know, we're professional, and they may not necessarily be professional, but they're getting the job because they're doing it for free.
There are makeup artists out there who will fly themselves into the town where the job is, put themselves up, and do it for the $300.
Wow. And then they're coming out in the hole, right?
Well,
but they got the job.
You know, I don't know what the advantage is for them, you know, just to say they did this particular job or whatever the situation is. But my thing is, if I'm going to fly myself and put myself up, then I'm going to it's going to be a win-win situation all the way around, not only the job but also the money. You know, mm-hmm. I can't take a loss on the money and do that. But there are some people who will take that loss just to put it on their resume that they did this particular job.
See,
so
Katana,
that right there.
You just said something. You just said, you know, this is we're all professional, and that's the thing. This is a profession. You know,
right.
Makeup artistry is a profession, but you've got like 1 or 2 million people, I mean, in probably every major city, calling themselves makeup artists. And I don't mean to vent, you know, and go off on this other little thing that I'm getting ready to go off on, but
I mean, I'm with you.
You know, it's sickening. It's like everybody wants to call themselves a makeup artist, but nobody wants to do the work. Nobody wants to do the research. Nobody wants to, you know, really study their craft. And so when people, you know, calling all these other people for jobs, like they're working, doing these jobs for nothing, and yet you're sitting at home, you know, waiting for the next big thing.
Right.
Because, you're more than likely, you don't want to just do the, oh, I got to go run and do somebody's wedding somebody's makeup for their prom. Nothing against that, but that's not really what I want to do, what I desire to do. You know, what I desire to do was paying me more than $50 or paying me more than
$25.
Right. Okay, let's take a call.
Let's give her a chance to calm down a little bit, and we'll take a call from the 347 area code. All right, hold on a second here. Okay, hello, caller.
Hello. Okay, I guess they don't want to talk. Okay. All right, so moving on. But, you know, we raised a lot of good points, and I think it's something that we need to be well aware of because, you know, like Katana said, we don't stick together. but not sticking together is an advantage for producers and production companies, I do believe. So I think the lesson learned in that is that we have to all come to, you know, some type of agreement, you know, in that area that you're in. Because that's, like I said, the example that I said about people coming from out of town coming into your area, that's not really happening a lot, and that's to the extreme, but just the area that you're in, I think people need to come together and say, hey, look, we're not going to stand for certain things that's going on. But
exactly.
Now, that was just one side of the money issue. What kind of problems have you all faced with getting your money, receiving payment on job?
Well, I'm still waiting on 5 checks.
Oh, wow.
This day.
You know what? Before you answer that, let's just say really quickly for the two of you, like what types of jobs do you all work on? Like who do you work on? You work on celebrities? You work on, like, just tell, so people can hear the types of, you know, jobs that you do so they understand really where we're coming from.
Okay. I'll go first. I work for a lot of different networks. I work for the E! Network. I work for Telemundo. I work for the Biography Channel. I work for CNN. Like, I do a lot of television work for celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked on Nia Long. I've worked on Layla Ali, Monique, Omarosa, Takara. And these are pretty much Black celebrities. And hopefully we can touch on also the transition of, like, Black makeup artists working on Caucasian stars,
uh-huh,
and vice versa, because that's another topic that I hope that hopefully we can talk about also.
Okay.
Sometimes you get paid from the celebrity directly, and then sometimes you get paid from the production company.
Mm-hmm.
And getting paid from the production company sometimes is where you wait on your money for, like, they make you wait like 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. And that's where the problem comes in, because sometimes they lose your paperwork. You're thinking that, okay, they tell me to wait 60 days. I don't want to bug them. And then 60 days comes up, and then there's no check. So you call and check on, and, oh, I don't know what happened to your paperwork, or, you know, can you fill this out again? And then, you know, then
absolutely,
it prolongs it again.
Absolutely.
And just so y'all know, 60 days is 2 months. That's a long time. Okay.
Especially
just
because bills come every 30 days.
Absolutely.
Right. Bills never stop.
Absolutely. And so those 30, 60, 90-day jobs you were talking about for television, those were on some of those networks that you were just mentioning, those type of jobs.
Right.
And your work with some of the celebrities that you mentioned, are they paying you – they're pretty much paying up front. Is that correct?
Right. If I book something with a celebrity and it's something that they're paying for, right, my check is right there when the job is done.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Or gotcha. Cash or, you know.
And, you know, I did a job, it's been about maybe 3 years or so now for E! In New York. And we worked with one celebrity, this hairstylist and I, and it's funny because we did the job, people from the E! Network were very good about sending us the paperwork to complete and all of that. And they said, you know, send it, get it back to me within a certain number of days or whatever, and we'll process it right away, no problem. So I did that, and I sent this paperwork in. And then, you know, like you were saying, we're waiting around, okay, 30 days is coming, and, like, where's the check? So I was talking to the hairstylist, and I said, well, you know, she was sharing with me the same issue. You know, she got her paperwork in, but she doesn't have a check. Now, the person told me that we would get the check right away. Matter of fact, I take that back. I was wrong. Not 30 days. They said they were going to process the check, and it would go out in the next time that the check ran. So pretty much we would have been getting the check like within 2 weeks, pretty much like a payroll check. This wasn't something that was being, we weren't going to be eventually 1099 for. This was, they were putting us like on the payroll. So we were going to have this check within 2 weeks. 2 weeks come around and there's no check. So she's sharing with me that she hasn't received her check either. So I'm saying to her, well, look, we need to get on the phone. We need to call them and find out what's going on. So I get on the phone. I call the person that sent me the paperwork. Then he gave me the number to the accountant. And so, like, every person that they gave me, I called. And I, you know, went all the way down the line calling and finding out what happened. And I can't remember what it was, but it was something so small, like, there was another form that wasn't completed or something like that, that, of course, I would have never known had I not called them. I could have sat around and waited 30 to 60 to 90 days and not gotten my check. So that's what the hairstylist did. She sat around like they were going to call her and tell her that she was missing the form. They don't do that.
Right. They don't do that.
They're in no
rush. You would think that, you know,
you
would think that they would respect each other's jobs, or, you know, people need their money. If they see that there's something wrong, they would just wouldn't let it sit on somebody's desk. They would act on it, but
absolutely. But, you know, and had I not just called and followed through, I wouldn't have had a check. She didn't get her check until the following year.
Wow.
Yes. The following year.
Wow.
So I couldn't afford to wait that long. I needed my check. Right, I needed my check within them 2 weeks. So, but those are the things that you have to be very careful about. Like, they won't call you and tell you. Like, I know on some film projects, if you're missing, like, sometimes they'll give you your check and then they'll give you your kit fee separate, in two separate checks. And if you don't get your kit fee, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes they will contact you when they get your paperwork in the accounting office. They'll see that you're missing something, and they'll contact you. And normally they'll do that before any of the checks even come out. But if you get a check but you don't get your kit fee check, then you automatically know, okay, I need to make a phone call because I was supposed to get this check along with this other check and I didn't get it. So normally we automatically know, okay, give them a call. It's probably something missing. They're probably missing our, kit rental invoice or something like that. And normally it's they didn't get your box rental list or something like that. So normally we know to call automatically. But normally some people won't call you at all and you're sitting around wondering, okay, I didn't get my kit fee. I think we have to get to the point where we get past that. Like, if you know you're supposed to get some money and you don't get it on time, you need to be making a phone call. You don't really give them a chance to sit around and say, okay, I'm going to let them, you know, call me and tell me, or I'm going to just wait and give them a couple more days and then see what. No. Because a couple more days may mean you're going to be put on the next pay cycle.
Yep. And that's what normally happens.
Right, and if you're not on a payroll system, then that may mean 30 days. Whereas if you're on the payroll system, it may only mean 2 weeks. So we have to be more conscious of that and really like just get on it right away. And I think we lost Katanda, so she may come back to us soon. But,
we had a question from the chat. And they wanted to know, Dee Dee, and when we get Katanda back, if you're in the union, the makeup union.
I'm not in the union. And that's something that I need to revisit again, because I had a situation where I worked on a movie and I was kind of promised all the amount of hours to get unionized because I was hired in as a personal celebrity. So when the movie ended, I'm thinking that, And I was kind of new in the business. I'm thinking that, okay, they're going to take care of the paperwork and all that. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And then when I called and found out about, you know, what I needed to do, whatever, they were like, oh, you didn't complete that amount of hours that you needed. And I was like, well, I was told, and you know, in the very beginning before I even started working, that I was going to cover those amount of hours. They were like, well, you didn't cover them, so you still got to, unless you can go back and work with that certain celebrity,
mm-hmm.
then we may be able to get you in. But if not, you have to start from the beginning. So,
let me ask you, how long ago was that?
That was like 4 years. No, nope, not 4 years ago. Might have been 3 years ago.
Let me ask you, Didi, how long did you wait after the movie before you gave them a call?
I waited like 2 months because I was working afterwards, and it kind of slipped my mind. And then when I had some time to really sit back and go over, you know, I had a period where I could really just go over some things that I've been slacking on. And I was like, let me write down a list of things that I need to do and I need to accomplish. And when I was going through that list, and that's when I realized it.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that was
the issue,
the real issue, that the 2 month time period. I really don't see why, but I'm just wondering if that's what, you know, they kind of used as their excuse.
And that's what I'm thinking too, because from what I hear. And this I don't know to be true, but what I hear is that they don't like to let a lot of African Americans in the union.
Mm-mm. No.
And I don't know how true that is.
Well, I kind of agree with that. And then the situation with you is you're out in L.A. So in that union, that union already, I mean, it's a big area, and that union already has a ton of people, but.
Right.
I mean, they already have a good number of African American makeup artists in the union, but I guess they're looking and thinking, well, why do we need more?
Right.
I guess they figure there's enough for the few you know, movies that come to that area anyway.
Right. And I think I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
So then I kind of left it alone, and then. When I was talking to a lot of my friends that were union, and I was finding out that they were paying their dues, and the dues it was really high, and they weren't, you know, when the union went on strike and they didn't really have any work, they were working non-union jobs. They were taking non-union job, from the non-union makeup artist. So that left the non-union makeup artist looking for more work. And it was just like one big, at one time, when they were on strike, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely crazy.
Well, one thing I would say to you is that you do a lot of television work. I think that because of the networks that you work with, it's just not like you go to, you know, like a production company hire you to do a corporate video. That's not the kind of television work they're looking for. But.
Right.
Because you work with a lot of the networks, I think that, you know, you could probably get your days quickly and like you said, but since you did that movie 4 years ago, that work is not going to count anymore.
No, she said three.
Oh, I'm sorry, three years. Well, even 3 years ago.
It should. Within 3 years, should.
Yeah, but the thing is, it has to be, you have to have 3 consecutive years within a 5-year period. So if you can get your days, all of your days in 3 consecutive years, that was 3 years ago, but you might can try it again. I would definitely try it again.
I've been thinking about that like lately, and I'm like, from what I hear, and also from what I hear from other artists, is like they don't get enough work to even pay their to accumulate for the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the out-of-state tax breaks that
Thanksgiving
and all that.
Yeah.
So that a lot of shows aren't being filmed in L.A., or even television shows, movies, anything, like it used to be, because of the tax breaks that the other states are getting to have everything shot in their state.
the thing that you have to remember about that union, though, is that you can leave L.A. and work on some of those shows in those other states. If, you know, if you're willing to.
The funny thing about that is how, I mean, their complaint is that, you know, all of their production and shows and stuff, because of the tax incentives, are leaving L.A. But think about what some of these production cities across the country, like, you know, your Wilmington, North Carolina, your Atlanta, your Baltimore, D.C., some of those places, think about how some of those people who hardly ever even got productions in the first place, how they felt when all the productions were in L.A. where they originated from. Like, you know, people were struggling to get their days until our union kind of changed the way that whole process worked. So I think that's what 706 has to do, is they have to kind of change how that whole insurance thing works, because I just don't think it's fair that you pay your dues and you work, and let's just say you had to have 60 days and then you only get 40 days and then you're denied insurance. That makes no sense to me.
Right.
Like, it just needs to be reworked so that everybody's covered, regardless of what level of insurance they're getting, they get something.
Absolutely.
No, I have a couple other questions from the chat room, but if you have a call, you can go ahead and take that.
Okay, we have Maxie on the line. I'm going to bring Maxie on, but then once I bring Maxie on, you go ahead and get your questions in.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad I was pulled out, because I was dying. Now, I have
I know you have a lot to say, but first say hello to Dee Dee Kelly and Katonda James.
Hi, Dee Dee. Hi, Katonda.
Hi, Maxie.
How are you? I have other things to talk about, but I really want to talk about what you guys are talking about first.
Right.
But hi, girls. How are you? I, as a person of zero color, that is not in the union and does not desire to be, but that happens to be completely immersed in the black world work-wise,
mm-hmm.
I have to say this. The union jobs are based on how many jobs are out there for your abilities, for your specialty, whether it's special effects that they need, whether it's this or that they need. But let me tell you some horrible, horrible secret about the industry.
Okay.
A black makeup artist will normally only be hired onto a black job. A white makeup artist will only normally be hired onto a white job.
Disagree.
And the horrible thing about that is, and it just happened to me yesterday, is that white makeup artists will ruin a white person that's in their chair as fast as some black makeup artists will ruin a black person that could be in the chair in front of them. It has nothing to do with what color you personally are, but people are really stupid. There's less jobs out there for black artists because there's less black TV shows, less black films being produced, less black everything. Let's say 10-20% of the market is that.
This could be a whole nother topic, boy.
And so you are now, you know how I go deep into this stuff. I go beyond why and where.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to how and what the hell. And so I'm telling you that it's because of stupidity, because of people's inability to accept the fact that we all can do everybody, and we all can do everything.
Well,
and
all
so
of us can do everybody. All of us can't do everybody, and all of us can't do everything.
Well, you know what I mean. We eventually become great. I mean, I'm not talking about in the beginning of our career, but after experience.
I know people who are very experienced. And they white makeup artists, and they cannot do black makeup. They don't even have makeup for black skin in
black
their
people.
Kit.
No, I hear you. I've seen that. I have seen that too. But then I have seen also black makeup artists make a black woman orange or ashy. I've seen both sides of it. I've seen white people make white people pink. I've seen white people make white people brown. I've seen white people, I've seen all crazy kinds of stuff. But what I'm saying is if someone is taking a look at your work, it goes beyond them looking at your work. They not only want to see, for instance, if it's a black film, a black independent film, or predominantly the characters are black, they will go even beyond looking for people of color in your portfolio or on your site. It really goes even past that to, we want a black artist for this, a black hair person, a black makeup person. And I have just experienced this sort of reverse to me. And this is how white people are, too. They sort of, although there are black artists, very successful ones, and stylists and hair people in the industry, that are doing so good, way better than me. And they're doing white jobs and all of that, regular jobs, all different kinds of jobs. No one's pigeonholing them into anything. But they have, like, you know, this big repertoire, all these names, all these, they've really earned it and really had to fight their way there. But what I'm saying is even white people will look at a black artist and be like, oh, well, you know, say, for instance, the actress was Swedish. They would be like, oh, you know, there's just weird thoughts that people have that are based on nothing. And so I was up for a Luster campaign, a Luster commercial. I don't know if you know the Luster Company, but the Luster Company has beauty products, hair products, et cetera, and for, you know, for people of color. And I, for one, am a white person that has, for the first 6 years of my career, I never saw a white person, okay? I am someone who has probably touched more people of color than people of color have touched. And my website, although outdated, it's like 70% black, okay? I mean, my celebrities in there are all like Shamar Moore, Regina King, rappers, and you know what I mean? Like, my big celebrities are all happen to be black names. But so the point is, they were looking and looking. They couldn't find a site that represented enough black hair and makeup. And they kept looking for sites. And I was like, did they see my site? And they were like, yes, they saw the site. They loved it. They saw a lot of, you know, exactly what they're looking for, okay? But they continued to look. And I was like, well, why are they still looking? And I just couldn't understand. But then I communicated with the stylist. And the stylist, who also happened to be white, that was up for the job, was dropped. And a black stylist was hired. And then it just turned into the whole crew turning into a black crew. And you know what? It wasn't a racism issue, but I considered it that because it was just because they were afraid. They didn't know that a white person could do black hair or that a white person, like, they wanted their commercial to look right. They didn't want it to, you know, go bad or who knows what. But it is stupidity that creates that. And let me tell you, the white world does it, the Spanish world does it, the black world does it, and it limits all of us, and all of us get less work because we don't get to do everything. And the black artists that are in Hollywood now working successfully across the board with all races of celebrities worked a lot harder, believe you me, than the white ones. That is a fact. Oh, okay, sorry, go ahead.
No. But do you realize the reason why you're so good at doing black hair? Do you know why?
No. Well, time.
The reason why?
Time.
Time, and you've taken the time to learn it. Most people.
Well, honestly, it was my goal. When I first started, I was with this agency called the Crystal Agency, which is owned by a black woman. And my first music video was Wu-Tang Clan Triumph. And at that point, I just decided, you know what? I just want to do hip-hop, and I just want to do black jobs. Like, I just put that sort of in my mind for a minute. And it came out, like, there's an article online about me that says, it calls me the unlikely queen of hip-hop. Please Google it. But it was a weird thing that I just wanted, because I felt like, oh, so I had so much drama with girls on video sets, you know, being like, oh, it's a white artist, you know, like, are you sure you can do this? Like, really giving me drama. For years, I would have drama until they actually knew me. I would have drama from the video girl. And so I finally had to, you know, sort of fight my way in there. But the whole time, because Crystal was pigeonholed because she was black, she was only having black clients go to her agency to hire artists. So she, it was just a weird, vicious circle of horribleness. And it still continues to this day. And some of it stems from racism, but most of it is just stupidity. That they don't get it. They don't get us. Like, they don't get that what we can actually do. Like, we are not just, you know, we can't just do who we are.
Right.
You know what,
right.
You know what upsets me, though, is that, and I don't know about Dee and I don't know about Katanda, but I know when I started doing makeup, when I went to school, when it was time for them to hand out makeup to us for our makeup kits, everything that they had were for Caucasian women. They said that they didn't realize so many African-American students were going to come to this particular class. I think we might have had 12 students, and we had 6 were black. Okay, so what I did was I took the makeup that came along with the kit that I paid for. It was no big deal.
You paid for the white. You paid for the foundation that didn't include dark colors. I mean, not dark colors, but other hues.
But it doesn't make a difference because I have to have everything in my kit, right? So yes, they didn't really give us any dark colors, but you know, when it was time. But this is the thing. When it was time to hand out the makeup, I decided I was going to help the teacher. Because I'm like, I'm going to get all the darkest shades I can find. Not because I thought all of my clients were going to be black, but I'm like, okay, well, they do have a few things here that probably could work on blacks. I want to, you know, try to make sure that I get it and some of the other African-American students at least try to get some colors that are close enough that they could use on their clients. But I knew that when I went out on my own to start shopping to build my kit, I was going to buy colors for blacks because, you know, I'm like family, friends, they're going to want me to do their makeup. But I was also buying for Caucasian women and men as well. So it didn't really make any difference. What really burned me up is that I had to know how to do Caucasian people because all of the jobs that I got when I first started out were on Caucasian people. All of them. That's how I built my resume. And it burns me up when I've worked on white films, I've worked on black films, but the black films that I've worked on are the ones where I've had the key department head titles. I don't have that on my white films, but the white films are on my resume. What burns me up is when I see someone who you're going after a job on a white film, and they look at your resume. Okay, you know, I'm looking for somebody who has key experience or whatever. You have that, but they see that it was on, I don't know, Stomp the Yard.
Right.
Or, you know, a black film.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you get kind of pushed to the side because, you know, yes, she has a years of experience. She's, you know, she's key, department head. She's done this, she's done that. She has, resume is great. But it wasn't on a white film. And a lot of times you kind of get pushed aside only because you're not white. Now, like you said earlier, it's happening all across the board.
No, but I also said earlier, I have to clarify one thing. I also said earlier the successful black artists had to work a lot harder.
They did.
To be able to do.
You're absolutely right.
They had to. I'm witness to it. I'm white as hell. I can tell you. That I've seen over and over and over, including the wardrobe stylists. They think that they can't, that a black person can't even dress a white person. You know what I mean? Like, they will,
you know,
they want you to do Mary J., but they don't want you to do, you know, Paris.
But you know what, though? But a lot of times you will see the white artist or stylist styling or doing makeup and hair for a black client. Some of them may even have personals who are white. And, you know,
yes, but wait, I have to clarify one more thing. I don't want to interrupt you,
okay.
But I wanted to say, I don't mean successful artists as in successful, because, yeah, there's many black successful artists that are doing black celebrities. I'm talking about success with across the board races.
Yes.
You're doing
white
people, black, you know. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt that, but.
Oh, no. Oh, you're, I mean, you're right. You're right.
And, but anyhow, but the, you know, it's the sadness of it is, there is a deep, it's very sad. It does limit all of us. What you told me about the schools makes me even sadder, because basically no one is even preparing the artists, these kids, these students for, you know, people of color. And basically that's why there are those orange faces out there. That's why, you know, there is the fear, and that's why the black girls will sit down in a chair and be scared shitless, or crapless, sorry. And, but that's why, is because, you know, in the beginning of the career, the artist is not prepared for real life. There are very few white people on the planet, is the fact. And, I just don't understand it. It's sad, but it just happened to me with the Lester Company. My gosh, the Lester Company finally found the black artist they were looking for after a long search. they couldn't find. But, you know, maybe that evens it out. You know, I've always said to myself, you know, it's like I really have seen, like, this sounds crazy, but I have seen the struggle in the process of my career of people of color, no matter what their career choice is in entertainment, whether you're an actor, whether you're in this or that, or just period, I've seen that it can be harder. You can be considered, when they're looking for a black person, they will say if someone's too dark or too light, too this, too that, too behaving one way or another. Like, it's really... there is that. It hasn't gone away. I don't care that it's 2010. It is in existence. I've been on entertainment sets and heard people use the N-word as long as there were no black people around.
Good.
I have seen it. I've heard it. And so I'm not saying this stems from racism again. I just think that it stems from stupidity and lack of knowledge of what we do. But then now I'm feeling like there's legitimacy to black people wanting to hire black people, because basically no one is prepared for the black world in school.
Wow.
And so it's all really deep, isn't it? This is not like fun and games.
It really is. It really is. It is. It really is. I mean, because you could go on and on about it.
I mean, I really could.
I have
specific, you know, I have so many specific stories, you know, that really back it up. It's not like I can be some person sitting on a platform talking for people of color. I'm just a witness to it, because
right.
I happen to be a white person that works in that world.
Right.
But that's not even what I wanted to talk about today. I didn't want to, like, you know, not be able to fall asleep tonight thinking about
right.
the horribleness of the world.
Wait a minute, Max, hold your thought about what you wanted to talk about really quick, because we've got plenty of more time, but I wanted to get to one of the questions from the chat room really quick.
Okay.
One of the questions for Dee Dee and Katanda, what advice would you have for an aspiring artist who's just getting into the game?
I will say that I suggest getting your foot in there by doing, like, as much as you could possibly do. What I did is I went and worked at the Mac Counter, and I got a lot of experience there. You get a lot of experience working with different ethnicities, different skin tones, different types of people and personalities, because a lot of times it isn't just about being able to match the foundation. You have to actually to know how to deal with people and their personalities. And so that really helped me out. Also, you're going to probably have to do some things to start off where you're not going to get paid a lot of money, and it may not be so glamorous. But that actually helped make me person that I am today. I have a story that's really crazy. I'll give you the short version of it, but I did 40 faces once for a fashion show, and I made only $75.
Oh, wow.
And so when I think about that and I tell people that story, people are just floored, but literally, like, it's a true story. And I did it, and I did it to the best that I could possibly be. I was excited about it. I was energetic. I was enthusiastic. And at that point, it wasn't really about the money. It was just me getting the experience, getting my foot in the door, and it was something that I really wanted to do. So, I would just say that you may have to do some things that you may not get paid a lot of money for at first, but it's all experience, and it's not always about the money.
Right.
Yeah, Barnett, you have to get paid, but starting off, you're going to have to do some things where you're not going to get paid a lot. And I think Dee Dee can probably contest to that, too, because we would always have conversations like, oh, my God, why would we do that? We only got paid $15, and we shouldn't have done that.
Yes, I look back on all those things that we used to do. What?
And then still to this day, like, we talk to each other, and I'm like, oh, Dee Dee, you're not going to believe what I did. And she's like, what did you do? I'm like, well, I took this job, and I thought I was only going to, do one look, and I ended up doing, like, five looks. But it's another thing is that we're so passionate about what we do. We don't want to get there and then just do, like, a half job because we're only getting paid for doing that half job.
Right.
So you have to be able to, there has to be a balance there.
And you might have to repeat the question because we lost Dee Dee once, and I think she was trying to get back on when you asked the question. So repeat the question so she can answer.
Okay, Dee Dee, it was a question from the chat room. They wanted to know, what advice do you have for an aspiring artist who, wanted to get into the game?
Well, Katanda pretty much said it right on point.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started out, like everyone else, I always tell people, start off at the mat counter if you can, because of the fact that they make you do so many faces every day and they make you practice. And the more you practice, the better you're going to get at anything you do. So, like a lot of other lines to me, they don't do makeup on their, they sell products. But I know when we worked at the mat counter, we had to do faces every day, almost once an hour. So it makes you practice. And the more you practice and the more you watch other people, the better you'll get.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know who may walk into that Mac counter or that Sephora or wherever and sit in your chair, and next thing you know, that might be the biggest next celebrity coming up, and they may remember you and want you to be their personal makeup artist.
Right. And if you can't get a job at the Mac counter or Sephora, then just make sure you're practicing all the time.
All the time.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
We used to practice till like 4 and 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. No
Before
lie.
You knew it, we would look at the clock and I'd be like, oh my God, Dee Dee, we got to be at work at 9 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock. And she'd be like, oh my God.
Right. She's not even lying.
We'd been up all night doing makeup, and I'm not exaggerating, like literally all night long doing makeup. But I mean,
that was our passion.
Yeah.
Yep, well, absolutely.
That's funny. That's good advice. That's the advice that I give to everyone. Besides, like deciding what career you're gonna choose, because you can have a successful career like doing weddings, proms, and special events in some little town somewhere, or you can decide to do music videos or commercials or get in the union or do fashion or special effects, or there's so many different directions. But the advice I always give is just what you girls just said, which is practice. Because when the moment comes up, when you're about to really get paid, you want to be ready. You want to do a good job.
Ready.
And
I say
to your grandmothers, to your aunts, your neighbors, your cousins, because you will make money if you're good. No matter what, you'll make money in any part of the country if you're good. And if you're bad, you'll make money once. And then you will not make money
again. And you will not make money again. I love that. I'm going to use that quote next week.
Now, this is what what I really have to talk about just for a second, and then we'll get back to it. This will be a short thing. I'm starting a campaign, which I have Twittered about. I'm starting a campaign against the mascara companies that utilize false lashes and mascara ads and commercials. It's called the We're Not Stupid campaign. And I really want everyone out there to call and to write and to email the mascara company saying we're part of the We're Not Stupid campaign.
And we are not taking any more used real lashes because, honestly, if they did an ad, a commercial, and it had a woman with no mascara, and then all of a sudden she had, you know, she was applying the mascara, we would be amazed at the difference that we saw in a close-up shot in a commercial because it's really dramatic what mascara does to lashes and to an eye. It would be much more less advertisement fraud to just actually show a true lash with and without mascara or just with mascara, whatever they want to do, one eye with, one eye without, to show how dramatic it is. Because it is if it's good mascara. But they can no longer use fake lashes for their ass. No longer.
You are so right.
So which companies?
I love it.
It's over. It's over.
I love it.
I'm telling you, I will
say it
shout
again.
This. I will shout this from the top of, you know, buildings if I have to. I am talking about this everywhere. I curse. I never have used so much profanity in my life as I used on my Twitter today. Because I was like, this, I am tired of this effing companies using effing fake mascara and fake lashes, effing this and effing that, because that's how I really feel about it.
But you know what? You're so right, because a lot of times when I walk into school and I see some of these mascara, the packaging, you know, they show an eye with the most fabulous lashes, and you know that it's a fake lash, because if
right.
you were to take my lash without mascara, they are not long at all. I would probably be the perfect model to do this on. And so you get these mascaras that claim to do everything. And then if you put it on my lash and then you really see the effect, that's probably why they do use
well, no,
fake lashes.
I wouldn't use your lash. You know what I mean? I wouldn't
right.
use your lash. I would use a woman that has lashes, but they're not really apparent, or they're lighter, or they're, you know, sometimes when you put mascara onto a woman, it's like crazy. You're like, what? Who knew you had all these lashes?
Right.
And that's how I would do the commercial. Like, I wouldn't make it hard on these companies, like, okay, here's her curly little lashes. Now, go ahead and give us, you know, give us some long, flowing lashes. No, I'm not trying to torture the company. I want them to just be honest. I don't want them to have to, you know, companies that claim things like we will extend your lashes, we will do, then they should have somebody that has, you know, whatever you're talking about, like little short lashes or whatever. I don't think you have that short of a lash, by the way. I've seen your eyeball.
You've always seen me with mascara, that's why.
Oh, okay. So either way, it's a horrible thing, and again, not as horrible as what we just talked about. But like
you
said, let's take away the worst.
It's funny though.
Let's take away the word horrible.
It's funny because when I go into the store and I see all of this, I'm looking for the picture with the fabulous lash because that's what I'm going after.
But have you seen the
on.
Commercial? The commercials with the stiletto lash where she has the spider leg all the way up past her eyebrow.
Oh my gosh.
Stiletto. The stiletto mascara is either the worst mascara in the world. Like it turns your lashes into little hairs. It turns your lashes into like human hair that grows off of a head. And
we need more names now. If you want us to be a part of this campaign, we need more names. Which mascaras are you talking about?
Well, every company does it in commercials. I'm talking from that English company where with what's her name, Kate Moss.
I know exactly. Yes, I know exactly.
Okay, yeah. Stiletto mascara, CoverGirl, a Maybelline. Everybody that has mascara does this, and you know what? You makeup artists should be ashamed. You should at least put, like, not free individuals or one lash at a time. You know, we could put individual lashes one lash at a time. I'm not talking about the flare. I'm talking about the little tiny lashes, like you could try to squeeze in so that makeup artists don't know that they're fake or people don't know. But they put on a strip of plastic lashes that go up past the eyebrow.
Exactly.
And there's this beautiful black woman in the new Maybelline campaign, by the way, and that campaign claims to extend the lash and make them long and beautiful. okay, well, this woman has, like, Missy Elliott lashes glued onto her eyeballs. And I'm talking, you know, Missy wears, like, 3 strips of lashes. Well, okay, that's what this woman has. And, but with no makeup on, just sweet and natural and beautiful with 3 strips of lash still on the mascara. And it's got to stop. We need to know what's really up with the mascara, okay? What we really want to know is, does the wand get clumpy, and does it dry out? Because
exactly.
And does it really stick? Does it really stay if it's waterproof?
And right. Does it leave little fibers all over your face? I hate that.
Yeah, I mean, does it crumple off? And does it dry and crumple off your face? Those are the 4 things we want to know.
That's the thing. That crap gets in your eye.
Say that loud. I can hardly hear you.
No, I said that crap gets in your eye when it dries up and crumbles off. It gets in your eye.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, true. And everywhere else, like you'll be walking around with like black little freckles all around your face.
Right.
But believe, I mean, not that I've ever worn any mascara, but
yes. Of course you have.
So, you know, Halloween or television appearances only. But but the thing is that I just, you know, it is a campaign worth having. Makeup artists should head up this campaign, and there's enough makeup artists in the country that can actually stop these companies from doing it. Because if they don't, and if I don't change it soon, I'm going to launch a lawsuit against the companies for false advertisement. It has been done before.
Oh,
and I will get...
I know, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I will get you guys all your money back for all the mascara you bought last year.
Well, that's good to know. I was just going to say that I know one of those particular companies that actually made a statement as to why they do that. And they said because everyone else is doing it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And so you have to stop. That's what I'm saying. We have to stop them all at once. Don't just, you know, pick out one company because you want to. They all need to be stopped at once. They're all owned by, like, 2 or 3 top companies anyway, big companies. You know, like L'Oreal owns blah, blah, blah. You know,
you
gave Cover
Matthew
Girls.
More fighting power with that one, Katana.
I know.
I'm really upset about it because when I see the Stiletto commercial, that's the one that really bugs me. Because the lashes actually look terrible. They're not good. Like, you know, at least sometimes, like the Eva Longoria one, her lashes look good, even though they're 2 strips of fake lashes. But at least she looks good with them.
Mm-hmm,
but this Stiletto ad kills me to where I just had to put a stop to it.
And literally, like, people, like the normal consumer, the regular consumer, they think their lashes are going to look like that when they put the mascara on. And so, kind of really sad because they're so disappointed.
You know what?
Right.
I've seen a mascara. I've seen a mascara do the following. I've seen a mascara take a woman's eye from 0 lashes. I'm talking those nubs where there's nothing. To as long as you want to be. I've seen it done. You can just keep adding and piling on the makeup, and if you're good at it, you can extend the lash as long as you want it to camel lashes. But that company is called English Ideas, and it, I don't think, makes that mascara anymore. It had a dual side to it. What it would do, the mascara would create a funnel like was copied by L'Oreal recently with some mascara. It would create a funnel. Uh-huh. It would create a tube, but we're talking about 10 years ago. It would create a tube that actually extended. You could make the tube as long as you want it to be, and the tube slides off of your lash, you know, and rips out some of your lashes here and there, but let's just say it slides off of your lash, and it was amazing. You know, they sent me free product forever, but then I think they went under.
Mm.
Now, that other company created the tubing mascara, and it's bullcrap. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really do it. It's just all a lie, and I'm not going to stop with this until you see me on the news going, uh-uh. It's over, and I'm going to have a petition, and all you guys will have signed it. Like, I'm not, uh-uh. Look at that. And
wow.
If a European company wants to promote their mascara in the United States, they have to adjust their commercial promotions for that. And I'm taking it all the way. This is a clear case of false advertisement. If you were to go buy a car, and the car in the picture was a car, I talk about this with a fish sandwich too at McDonald's. But if I was to want a car. And I go, and I drive across town to buy this car, and you get there, and it's a little, like, go-kart.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing, or if they're like, you know, if in the commercial, it's like, this car will go 500 miles an hour, and on top of that, it will swim and fly for 100 yards at a time. And then you get there, and that car drives like a car, and that's it, and it goes 60 miles an hour. And that's what we're talking about. That is illegal in this country. It doesn't happen. They snuck it in because there's no judge or lawyers or people who really care that are like, what? That's false advertisement. Those are fake lashes. Like, there's no judge or lawyer out there saying that. But all that's out there is us. And all that's out there is me who has to, like, rectify these things.
Well, start the petition.
Go for it, Maxie.
Let's get it started. We have like 18 minutes left.
I didn't get much done with this fish sandwich at McDonald's because I also wanted them to start putting a full slice of cheese on that sandwich. Because we'll see. We'll see what happens with this mascara thing.
Oh, my goodness. You are so funny. I love it.
Yeah. We have like 18 minutes left. I wanted to take that last question from the chat room. And then, Didi, you mentioned the topic that you kind of wanted to touch on really quick.
Okay.
Let's get the last chat room question.
Okay.
The last chat room question was asking, do you ladies have agents?
I don't.
Well, I do declare.
It's not that I don't want an agent. I just don't have one.
Right. Haven't found the right one.
Right.
Well, I've had every agent, and I can tell you, I'm not a lady, but I've had every agent, and let me tell you, there's good and bad parts of agents, you know, and so wanting one and being freelance is sometimes not that far away from each other.
Right.
I feel you need one to start your career, just to get the tears and the magazines and the few celebrities. But having an agency can sometimes be a terrible thing, which I got to dedicate that to a totally different show because I'll end up talking about it forever. But getting an agent, the thing that's the problem, I'll talk to you girls about it. I know all about getting an agent because it's not really about your work. They want to like you. They have to work with you. And they have to deal with you when your checks are late.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right.
You have to just be likable. And they want to work with you. It's all about your personality. Please remember, an agent is not your boss. You are your agent's boss. You're giving them 20% of your money. You're hiring them and giving them 20% of your money to represent you. People think of it as reversed, that the agent is the boss. You are the boss, and you're looking to hire them, and they're deciding whether they're going to work for you or not.
And you know what else I think I found about agents, too? Well, this is what I heard, that they want you to bring your celebrity clients that you already have to them most of the time.
Yes.
Oh, you don't even want to know. You don't even want to know. I've had an agent that will remain nameless to where I brought a client, a $1,500 a day Korean client, to the job. That client didn't want to pay the 20% on top of the rate. And you know, because agents get 20% from you and 20% from the client. And so they get 40% of what you're making on every job. But this particular client that I brought to the agency, she didn't want to pay the 20% on top, so the agent charged me the 40%.
Oh, never.
And And that type of thing happens. Agents not invoicing for the longest time, forgetting to invoice for you, paying you late, doing creative financing, shuffling around money to pay their bills and then pay artists.
Mm-hmm.
The artist group, the biggest agency with the biggest artists several years ago, shut down and took $20,000 from each artist, moved to Australia, and opened up under a different name.
Oh, my goodness.
And so agents, there's no unions attached to them. There's nothing. You actually have to take them to court when you have to deal with them. And it's literally taking an employee to court. Imagine the paperwork. Imagine the proof and the invoices and the time cards and all the stuff that you would have, remembering all the past production companies and all the jobs that you did. You'd have to be a genius accountant to actually get paid. Biggest agency in Hollywood, my friend, Cherie, was represented by them. She now moved to Miami, where she's represented by Ford, which is a conglomerate, like a corporation. Ford is the best agency to be represented by for hair and makeup artists, period, because they give you a check every 2 weeks, no matter what, whether your money came in or not.
Right.
And
that's what I'm talking about.
They're a corporation. So if you live in that area in Miami or Florida, the best thing for you to do is to definitely go to the Ford agency if you can, and they're really nice people there apparently. But my friend Cherie, who just moved there, I didn't even tell the story, she left the biggest agency here, and that agent for 6 months didn't invoice on certain jobs, didn't do this and that, and totally lost lower-paying jobs, and they had to track it down. Couldn't even find most of her money, still over thousands of dollars.
How long did it take before she actually went to them to ask about her money? Because, I mean,
she was begging for her money. She was Usher's artist. She was everyone's artist. She had done, basically, this girl sort of helped start my career. She brought me to my first agent. I used to assist her 15 years ago. And let's just say she's like this amazing artist that worked constantly, that was starving, that had no money coming in, never had a check. I mean, she would not care if I, by the way, she's a close friend, she would love it if I was telling the story. She would love it more if I named the agency, if I named the agency that I'm talking about right now. And in fact, I'm not afraid of a slander suit, and I think I will. It's the Margaret Maldonado Agency, in which a reality show is based around and going to be created very soon. And the Margaret Maldonado Agency will be a reality show. They're shooting it now, I believe. But basically, she's the biggest agent in L.A., for especially music and celebrity, but she's the worst agent in L.A. And proof of it is poor Cherie Combs, who was screwed under by the Margaret Maldonado Agency over and over and over again. So anyhow, it's hard to find a good agent, but you need one in the beginning, which sucks. Moving on to the next question.
We have like 12 minutes. Dee, what was that topic you wanted to touch on? We're going to have to invite you girls back for another round two, because
yes, I would love to come back.
Yes, and we're going to have to, because there are so many questions we haven't even touched on yet.
I know.
But I know Dee Dee was asking about like black makeup artists transitioning to working on like white actresses, I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
That seems like, okay, like I was listening to like when we were talking about like black artists doing black makeup and white doing white makeup. What I found out, like I worked on a show last week called Celebrity Ghost Stories. So I had like 5 or 6 celebrities every day to do makeup. And the women came already done, white and black. And I'm sitting on set like, okay, I don't really have any work. And I was, you know, talking to them like I always do. And they were like, you don't know how many times we've walked into a makeup room and there was a makeup artist that did not know how to match our skin or didn't know how to do our makeup. So the thing that we know to do now is be ready, because I've had to wipe my own makeup off so many times because they never had the color. Like, and these are for a lot of the black celebrities. First thing they say is, when we walk into that room and then there's a white girl there, she always jacks my face up.
But I have to say this. In general, union makeup artists are not good with beauty in the beginnings of their career. They are not seasoned and trained in beauty and in film as opposed to video and HD and all that like we are in fashion. We have to make it look so perfect for a picture that it's always more beautiful. And film, honestly, union makeup artists, it's a longer road to achieving a beauty. This is a terrible thing for me to say, but it is true. Union
is
makeup
terrible.
Artists
I mean, it's not true.
Are,
it is terrible.
I do not
well,
believe
can
that.
Can I interject?
Let me just
yeah.
really, I have to say this. There are some exceptions. Now, go ahead. What were you
going
to say?
Okay. Let me interject because I see where you're going, and I understand that, but I can't agree with that totally. There are some makeup artists who are in the union, and I would say some of those people are the older union makeup artists because I personally take offense to that because before I ever stepped foot on a film set, I did music videos. I was doing photo shoots, so I was doing beauty. I had to do beauty to get to that point of getting myself ready to get to the point of being a union makeup artist.
But you're a percentage, and the big chunk of union makeup artists go to school, learn makeup and special effects and contouring and stage makeup real quick in
but
a course.
Is that in L.A.?
I'm just saying, like, when I run into, especially an older, maybe you're right, maybe especially an older makeup, I don't know what it is, but when I work with union artists, I'm always horrified to see what they've done with the skin, what they've done with the eyes. It's always dry. It's never, I mean, this is from for the last 15 years, I've seen great union artists that are special effects artists, amazing ones. I've seen great artists that are, you know, that have, like, that work on Desperate Housewives or that work on actual shows that have worked their way in beauty shows somehow that have become amazing makeup artists. But what I'm saying is when they first start, a lot of them, maybe just in L.A. and in New York, but a lot of them will come out of school. They will do their days on some independent films, ruining the makeup on several independent films. They will get in the union, and then they will sort of horrify actresses for a couple of years, and then they'll get better, and then they'll be great makeup artists. But
you know what?
Everyone
I
else,
hear
like,
exactly
but
what you're
everyone
saying,
else. Wait, one more thing, though. Everyone else, like you, you, of course, did makeup, loved makeup, always did it, learned it, did music videos, did photo shoots, and then got in the union. But
that's the difference.
A lot of people
that you're talking about, that I think you're talking about, those are the people who set out to do film and nothing else, really. But they just so happen to get on all the jobs where they're doing all this other stuff where they're supposed to be doing beauty, but they've never really learned beauty.
True.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That is what it is. But that is exactly
what
it is. Those are all artists that just want to
do. I think, not to cut you off, but I think a lot of the schools in L.A. are designed to teach specifically, like, special effects and to prepare artists for film. But, you know, here in Maryland, there are no schools like that. When you go in, that's what you're learning is how to do makeup. And then you start off doing, like my sister was saying, videos, photo shoots, whatever, everything that's kind of more beauty related. And then eventually, I'll speak for myself, eventually, you know, I wound up in television and doing independent film until I was able to get into the union to do feature film. I never set out to be a feature film makeup artist. But
so you were already developed.
That.
You were already.
Mm-hmm, right.
An amazing makeup artist before, but imagine if you were put on a film and the first 90 days of your makeup career, and
right.
And that 90 days was spent on one other or two other films, being
right.
an additional makeup person, doing background extras, powdering their faces,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, and then you pop out, and you're like, whoa, I'm in the union, and now I'm going to do a film, and now a real actress is going to sit in my chair. And so
right.
that's why they come in, and they're, like, horrified a lot of time. They really are.
But you know
I get hired onto union projects by actresses for one reason, and guess what they go through to hire me? They go around the union. They pay me weird ways, like I have to do invoices for supplies and like all this stuff. Hire on additional people that are in the union, pay it through them. Like, I'm admitting it all, and I don't even care because none of y'all know my last name. None of y'all can best.
You know what, Maxie? That goes to show you, like, from the very beginning we were saying, when we were talking about studying your craft, just because you are in the union and you work on a lot of films and you do a lot of television doesn't mean that in your spare time you can't work on your beauty. You can't go get a part-time job, like they were saying, at the MAC counter or something like that. That's why it's important to study your craft.
Oh, my God.
You're going to be in situations where you're going to have to do something different. And I've learned by working with black celebrities, black females on black film, a lot of times they will sit in your chair. The director gives you instructions on what he wants them to look like specifically. They want to look like how they look when they're doing photo shoots for Essence Magazine or King Magazine or whatever. They want to look like a photo. They want their makeup like a photo shoot, even though this is for film. You know what
and
mean?
They're crazy because they have to look real for that. But you know what's happened? You just brought the show full circle and tied it together. You brought it back to the beginning. Because you guys, you were saying that in the beginning. You were saying in the beginning of the show, I remember you were saying, well, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been working, you could still ruin someone's face.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So you have to,
you know, you have to study your craft because, you know, it's not an excuse because I'm a film makeup artist. I can't do beauty. I've always said that we should be able to do both. I don't like to hear people say, you know, well, because I'm a film makeup artist, or people who are not film makeup artists thinking that people who are film makeup artists can't do beauty. Like, we can't touch everything. I mean, if you can do music celebrities and red carpets and magazines, why can't you do film and vice versa? So, I mean, if you're a well-rounded makeup artist, you should be studying your craft and you should be trying to learn everything. You may not want to do film, but if you ever find yourself on one, you have to know how to make adjustments.
And then let me tell you, we're talking about a very diverse, wide, wide field of makeup that goes between a photo shoot and a film, because there's reality in film sometimes where they want to see bags and they want to see texture of skin and they don't want. And so it is actually something that takes so long and so much experience to actually be able to do everything like you do and like I do and all the girls do that are on the show now. I'm saying for the people out there, thank God we're talking about it, because they think they're going to go to school and start working. They don't know that they don't do beauty. I worked with artists that really think that they do beauty, and they don't do beauty. And that they really don't do beauty. Like, I've seen it.
They really don't. Right.
And they don't, because if you have, if there is, you know, I'm sorry, but there's many different levels of beauty, many different types of beauty all across the board, from video to film to whatever it is, to photo shoots. There's so many different levels of beauty within that, clean beauty and super clean beauty where it doesn't look like anything on. And then just sort of some people think beauty is with gloss on and a dewy cheek or bronzer all over. And there's so many different types of beauty to do. But there's people who know none of those types.
Mm-hmm.
That just literally puts some dark into the crease of the eye, some light onto the eyelid, mascara on, foundation all over the face, powder it down, put on blush, put on lipstick, and they call it a day.
Yep, right.
And,
absolutely right.
And it's just horrifying, and that's why those poor actresses are, I don't know why I go on with these tangents, but.
Listen, you guys, we have less than a minute left. We are definitely going to have to continue this conversation another time. There's so many things we need to touch on. And just this last conversation alone has got me thinking, like, I want to start a series of shows where we talk individually about beauty makeup for fashion.
Right.
makeup for film, makeup for television. So we're going to definitely put that in works really soon. But I definitely want you two to come back. So start hitting me up
have
about
that.
Anytime, whatever. If you could come
next
week and we finish this, then we'll do it.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
nice meeting you guys, and now we have to hear what your idea of beauty is.
Check your schedule and let us know what you can do about that. But we want to thank everybody for listening. If you enjoyed the show, go out and mark it as a favorite. Leave a comment on our profile page. But Katanda and Beauty, before you leave, we ask everybody at the end of the show what beauty means to you all. So one at a time. Don't rush to be first, but let us know what beauty means to you.
Beauty to me means what you feel as an individual, and it starts on the inside, and the way you're feeling on the inside always exudes outer beauty.
And that was Katanda James.
Beauty to me. Beauty, actually, I mean, there's no one can really say what one person, like, I can tell you what beauty means to me, but what I think is beauty may not mean what you think is beauty. Like,
and
I think
fine. And I'm saying that's fine. That
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Like,
I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's fine. Like, we're not even looking for answers. That even it doesn't even have to relate to makeup or anything like that. Yeah, that's fine.
Beauty
I'm
is
sorry,
what whatever my eye decides it wants to grab and hold on to for that second.
I know that's right.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God, that's the best one I've heard so far.
I know. Me too.
That's the best one so far.
Right.
Oh, my God, you did it. I agree with.
Y'all
do that one again. What was it?
Right.
Beauty is what my eye grasps at that moment that I want to hold on to. What was it?
Wait a minute, she said, what my eye...
I did the same to you.
Look, we have to wait till the show is downloaded on the site and go back and listen to
that
it.
Was
yeah,
second.
I just felt it and I just said it.
Right.
That was number two to mine. And you know what?
That was yours.
To be number two to mine, you're amazing. That was a good We've heard hundreds now. You know, of course, I think mine's the best, but yours actually excites me more than mine and makes me, I mean, you're amazing. That was the best one so far.
Okay,
fine. You're number one.
Okay. Here it is. I'm quoting Dee Dee Kelly. It says, what my eyes want to grab a hold on to for the moment. I think that's what she said.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Close
that enough.
Oh, that is so beautiful. It kills me.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. We've heard a lot of things.
Gosh. I know, and that was Dee Dee Kelly, everybody, but I know I've held Katanda past her bedtime. That I know.
How do you know that?
Oh, I know.
That's okay. Well, I'm going to call you in the morning for T-Vault.
Oh, really? For tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow afternoon. Actually, not in the morning, but tomorrow afternoon. Are you available?
I'm not available at 2. So, late?
Well,
or
late. I'll BBM you.
Yeah, BBM me. We can do
okay.
T-Vault.
Cool.
Hello, this is a radio program, kid.
I know, exactly, Max.
You're like, what are you doing for lunch tomorrow? What are you doing? Okay, why don't we meet at Joe's Chicken Shack? Because, you know, I was thinking of eating. My grandma's wearing a red sweater tomorrow. What are you wearing?
Well, no, Max.
If I was in L.A., Dee Dee would be meeting me at Roscoe's.
I live one block from Roscoe's, the one on Gower.
Oh,
Maxie!
I like their chicken, but I hate their waffles.
Right.
Their waffles
are
like Eggo waffles.
Dry, though, sometimes.
They're flat. Like,
you know,
why can't they
they can't get up those waffles. At the beginning of the show, I was saying that I think Katanda was introducing herself or something like that, and I was saying that she's also my T-ball buddy or something like that. So that's where that came
from.
That's where that came from. So now that all this snow that we have here is kind of going away, we're trying to get out.
Thank God. Yes.
But you wouldn't know anything about snow, Maxie. So.
Not anymore. I've only seen, I think, snow twice. Well, I used to see it in New York all the time, but you only see snow for a second, and then it turns black into sludge.
Yes.
And so if you look out, if you catch the snow when it falls, it's cute. But I've only played in snow once, and I wish I had it. Where are you guys?
We're all over the place.
Where are
you? LA. My sister's in Atlanta, and Katana and I are both in Maryland, in the Baltimore, Washington area.
Oh, you guys are in the chilly area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's cold in Los Angeles, too. It's really chilly in Los Angeles. We're like at 78 today.
Oh, chilly.
No,
chilly.
It was chilly, Matt.
It was
hot.
With that being said, I'm done for the night.
Exactly.
I had to put on my Uggs today.
Whatever, Dee Dee. Was that you, Dee Dee? Whatever.
Dee Dee has to hang out in L.A., so Dee Dee, call me when you're in Hollywood. I'll meet you for sushi or something.
Hey, that sounds great to me. I love to eat.
Anyway,
I was thinking we were going to go Dutch.
I like you too.
I was thinking we were going to go somewhere really nice. No, I was thinking we would go to Katsuya, and I was thinking we would go Dutch, but let me know.
I'll give her your number, Maxie.
Okay. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye. See you next week.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
so
bye.
Thank you, Maxie.
Thank you, Dee Dee and Katanda, and let me know
you're welcome,
and we'll do this again.
Yes,
thank
we
you.
Will.
All right, good night, ladies.
You sound like Barack night. Obama. Yes, we can. Okay, good night.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.